This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, back this Tuesday with another hour of old-time radio. We begin this week with Columbia Workshop and Lee Fountain Comes of Age, their episode from November 2nd, 1946. And it's Believe It or Not with Deathbed Wish. We'll finish off this week with Radio City Playhouse and Ground Floor Window, their episode from July 10th, 1948.
Presenting radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, the Columbia Workshop. Every week at this time, over most of these CBS stations, the Columbia Workshop presents a new and different broadcast with accent on the experimental. Today, our author is Joseph Rusco, who has been represented before on the workshop. His story is called Lee Fountain Comes of Age. Kenny Delmar appears in the leading role. The special musical score has been composed and is conducted by Alexander Semler, and the production is under the direction of Werner Michel. Lee Fountain Comes of Age.
When Lee Fountain was 7, he decided it was stupid to grow up.
'Cause then you just go to the store and go to the store like Dad and never chase butterflies.
He decided to do something about it.
I'll never grow up, never. I'm going to keep being little. I'll hold on tight and never let go.
And every night in bed, Lee said to God,
"And please, God, I decided to hold on tight and always stay a little boy. Not big, will you ever laugh like Pa and go to the store? And go to the store, no marbles, nothing. And in between you just sleep and snore plenty loud. And look at Mum, no jacks or anything. Just stays in the kitchen and when she cries her nose is red. And dear God, the main thing is, what becomes of little children when they get big? Are they swallowed up or what? And things like that. So I decided I'll just hold on tight and stay little. Please, God, let me always be a little boy. I don't want to ever grow up. It's no fun."
Strange little duck. But it seems he didn't hold on tight enough. For before he knew it, he was tall and thin and 15 and went to high school. And his classmates all sneered and called him odd. For he was still in short pants and refused to change into longies.
Look at him, Lee Fountain, Superman, still in diapers.
You leave me alone, Buck Bishop.
You leave me alone, Buck Bishop.
My soul and I, we have a good cry. Haven't you heard, Helen? In math this morning, Itchy Faxon will give you some square rooster dope out.
And how do you suppose Diapers here was square rooting?
Itchy sneaks up behind Diapers' desk and grabs his paper out of his hand.
And reads it out loud to all the kids. Poetry.
My soul and I, we have a good cry.
That's what he wrote. Can you beat it?
Don't let him get away! Hold him, Buck!
Now that's up, Bucky!
Let me go! Ow! He bit me! I'm bleeding!
Oh, then we're gonna fight!
Stop him, Buck! Go ahead, stop him!
I'm back now!
Attaboy, Buck!
Look at Diapers! Sweet, sweet!
My soul and I, we have a good cry!
Make him get up, Bucky! Stop him again!
Run along, Cleo!
I will not, you brute! Picking on the poor fellow, you aren't fit to shine his shoes.
Beat it, Cleo.
In the zone. Buck Bishop, you awful bully, or I'll scratch your eye now. The whole pack of you.
Graham, Cleo.
I'd like to see anyone make me. You murderer.
Come on, let's go this way. I'm all right.
I'm Cleo Thompson. I'm in your history class.
Why don't you go in? Bell's rung.
Come here. Let me clean you up a bit. Got a hanky? Give it to me.
I'm all right.
Look at you. Shirt all torn. Face is a mess.
Oh,
does it hurt when I touch it? Boys can be so mean and cruel. I hate them. Girls are just as bad the way they giggle and watch a massacre. I'm in your history class.
I know.
There, you look a little better. How do you know?
What do you mean?
You never once talked to me. Never even looked at me. Do you despise me, Lee Fountain, because I'm freckled and plain and get the best marks in ancient history?
Last bell. Better go in.
You coming?
No.
Then I've got to. You're a queer one, Lee Fountain. Adam's apple, short pants, long hair, no friends. Always by your lonesome. What do you do when you're alone? I wonder, why do you sometimes mumble to yourself?
Why, I'm thinking of poems.
You're artistic. That's what I like about you. I can tell. They're not worth your little fingers, those bullies, those Philistines. You write lots of poems.
A lot.
Let's walk. It's beautiful, that one. How's it go? My soul and I. Beautiful.
You really think so?
Oh, definitely. But of course they wouldn't know. Buck Bishop. He may be on the football team, but he's still a dope.
Cleo.
Yes, Lee?
Cleo, I think Cleo's such a beautiful name.
You do?
I wanted to tell you lots of times.
What stopped you?
I don't know. I was afraid.
Lee Fountain, do you want me to be your girl?
Huh?
Then I will.
You will?
On one condition.
What's that?
Take off those silly, childish short pants and put on longies.
Nothing doing.
You're a grown man almost. Why not?
Because.
Because what?
Just because, and that's all. Change the subject.
Don't be a nut. Do you always want to be laughed at?
I don't mind.
But what about me? Do you want people to point me out and say, there goes Mrs. Diapers?
Change the subject.
What's so sacred?
Listen, if you want to be with me, then change the subject. Change the subject.
You're a hot sketch, Lee Fountain. But I like you. Let's walk.
And after that day, they walked a lot, Lee and Cleo, and held hands and sighed. And one night, Cleo wrote in her diary,
we've been walking and talking the whole night. When we came out of the movies and got to my door, he begged me not to go in yet. So I felt kind of sorry for him. So I said, all right, once around the block. And lovely black thoughts were pouring out of his soul like death. And how nice the grass smells so late at night. So I said, I tell you what, we walked around the block 3 times already. So why not let's go to the park and sit on a bench and talk our heads off. Poor Lee almost fainted with joy. And that's exactly what we did, little diary. We walked and we talked the whole night through. Yes, little diary, you who know all my innermost thoughts, you have guessed it. He has fallen in love with me. Hopelessly, helplessly, horribly in love. We're sitting on the bench, and all of a sudden he says to me,
Cleo, what is it that you feel when you feel a feeling that you never felt before? You give up? It's an awfully silly word, so I won't mention it. Anyway, that's the way I feel. Anyway, if only you did. Oh, Cleo. Cleo.
And you can bet that when Lee Fountain said that, he had changed to longies. And again, Lee failed to hold on tight. For zoom, the years went by, and presto,
He was 29. And he'd been keeping company with Cleo for years and years. He was engaged to her the last 9. He had a nice, snug job selling haberdashery at Ted Butler's. And everyone wondered why he hadn't long since gone ahead and married Cleo. It began to be common gossip. And Cleo said,
"See here, Lee Fountain, I won't be put off any longer. You're not the only pebble on the beach.
Now, Cleo,
fish in the sea, plenty of fellows who would have jumped to have me. Yeah. Joe Botkin and Eddie Price, but no, you monopolized my best years. 9 years we've been engaged.
Just one more month. Let's wait one more month, please, Cleo. July.
July. And before that, it was March. And before that, it was last year. And the year before that, and 9 years ago. You know what I think.
Cleo.
If you don't love me enough, just say so.
Oh, darling, I do. I'd die without you. But let's give it more thought.
More thought?
Yes.
I give up.
Marriage, Cleo, it does things to you. I mean, we won't be the same. The main thing is, what becomes of a bachelor like me when he gets married? Is he swallowed up or what? And things like that, it'll be a different me. I mean...
He means, of course, that he's still trying to hold on to that idea of being little. But Cleo will have none of his nonsense.
Lee Fountain, you'll marry me tomorrow morning right off.
Tomorrow morning?
I'll take your ring back. We can pile into your jalopy and ride to a justice of the peace. It'll be over before you know it.
Let's make it a week from Tuesday. I get a day off then.
None of your tricks,
Whole
Lee.
Whole day.
Tomorrow, first thing in the morning and not a minute later.
Yeah, make it the day after tomorrow then. Tomorrow's too soon.
Nothing doing. You'll call for me at 8 a.m. sharp, or I'm through with you forever.
And again, Lee Fountain failed to hold on tight enough for... And again... Failed. But boom life booms along. And zip the years zip by.
30. 31. 2. 3. 4. 5.
And Lee is no longer young. No longer young. Lee sighs.
My, 3 days ago, I was 7.
And wife Cleo just stays in the kitchen. And when she cries, her nose is red. And my, look how Junior's growing. Must be every bit of...
6, 7, 8, 9, 10...
And Lee all this while went to the store and went to the store. Yet often he rebelled, especially on his birthdays. On his birthdays, he exclaimed bitterly,
"My, 3 days ago I was 7.
And went out and got drunk.
3 days ago I was 7.
He's getting gray.
3 days ago.
Getting paunchy.
7.
Getting bald.
Getting old.
Old.
40. Middle age. Yesterday he was 39, but today is lost. Lost. How's he acting up today, Cleo?
This time it started off worse than ever. He can't stand birthdays. And turning into 40 is what he can't stand worst of all. I think it'll be the meanest of all.
Why'd Pa run out of the house, Ma, without finishing his breakfast?
Hush, Junior. He had to see a man.
But why'd he break all the dishes?
Oh, your father's a wonderful man, Junior. He used to write poetry.
My soul and I, we had a good cry.
And Lee took it out on his boss, too, as usual. Did you know Lee's 40 today, Mr. B?
So that's it again. No wonder he was acting so peculiar in the store this morning. I should have known. A girl comes in to buy a tie. I'm taking care of somebody else, so Lee waits on her. For an old man about your age, she happens to say, and he practically throws her out of the store. I don't like these yearly tantrums. Look here, Lee. I don't like your attitude lately.
You don't own my attitude, Mr. B.
That's the limit. I won't stand for it. You scare the customers away. The last few days, you haven't had your mind on the business.
What are you talking about?
I won't stand for it. I mean your slipshod sales methods. I stood you for 15 years.
I stood you just as long.
No wonder I never branched out.
It squeezes me here. You get that? Is this all I was meant for? Well, I'll start over again.
No, you're 40, Lee.
It's a lie. I'm 39.
You'll have to cut out these monkey shines once and for all and pay attention to business.
The devil with business, the devil with you.
You remember your wife and child before your tongue puts you in the ash can.
Let me worry about them, Mr. B.
I've been harboring a snake for 15 years.
You bet. And what's a snake but a big worm? And this worm's making a big turn. I quit.
You do like fun. You're fine.
I am like fun. I quit.
I'm free! Free!
And when he got home and sat down at the supper table, poor Cleo took one look at him and volunteered...
Want me to get you something, Lee?
Such as?
I don't know. Maybe an aspirin if you have a headache. Have you got a headache?
I could develop one for you if you want me to. You want me to? And at the supper table, Lee munches his food sullenly, silently, and his little family tactfully does likewise. Suddenly, Lee stops eating, stares at his wife wrathfully, bangs the table with his fist... and snarls at his astonished spouse.
Take you, Cleo Fountain, the anonymous author of Half My Troubles. Half My Troubles!
You're getting all gray. Does it bother you?
Like fun it does. Take April the 10th, Cleo. What happened to you that day?
April the 10th? I don't remember.
Take August the 20th. How about that? Huh? No, you don't remember that either.
Do you remember what happened to you?
Of course not, but at least I worry about it. Do you?
I'm always too busy with things to do.
What things?
Well, like sweeping up.
Like sweeping up.
Gee, Pop's your cuckoo tonight.
Junior, hush.
Junior?
Yes, Dad?
Why do you grow so fast?
Why do I grow so fast?
Why do you grow so fast?
I don't. I'm small for 10.
Don't fib. I don't like it.
I'm not fibbing.
I don't like it, I tell you, here. And stop whining. I can't stand your whining. Do you hear me?
Stop it right now. Bullying the boy like that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Get out of here as fast as your legs can carry you. And don't you dare come back here till you've calmed down.
Lee went, but first he broke a few dishes. Then he went out and got good and drunk. He returned with flowers for Cleo and a baseball mitt for Junior. And next day he got on the job at 8 a.m. instead of 9 a.m., as it was the day of the clearance sale. And still again Lee Fountain failed to hold on tight enough, for zing, the years now rushed toward him twice as fast, and oh, piled up on him.
40 you.
Oh.
40 you.
Ah.
40 you.
Oh.
40 I.
Ah.
To hold on tight and stay a little boy.
Like squadrons and battalions of the foe.
Not big, where you don't ever laugh like Pa.
trampling with alien thrusts and thoughtless jeers.
And go to the store. And go to the store. No marbles, nothing.
Over a wounded soldier lying low.
Dear God, what becomes of little children?
Lying low, lying low.
Are they swallowed up?
Lying low, low, low.
Or what?
Or what? Or what? Or what? Or what?
My, the way he carried on today has been worse than ever. Positively the worst. Rounding 50 just about did for him. 40 wasn't half as bad. Why, he's locked himself in his room all day and won't come out. Won't say boo. Won't eat a stitch. Not a stitch. It's been the meanest of all this time. I'm worried. Lee Fountain, open up. Your daughter-in-law's here.
Hello? Hello, father-in-law.
That's Phoebe. She wants to meet you.
Open up, Dad, for crying out loud.
Come on out, Mr. Fountain. I won't bite you.
Oh, come on. Open up there.
Lee, do you hear me? Open up. No. It's partly your fault, Junior. Running off and getting married without Pa's sanction. That's another reason he locked himself in there.
Well, I like that.
Now, Phoebe, no offense meant. If Mr. Fountain knew you, I'm sure he'd love you. But he's a very sensitive man, you know. He used to write poetry.
He would never let me bring a girl around the house, even Phoebe. You know darn well, Mom, I used to have to sneak Phoebe in here to see you.
Oh.
Don't cry, Phoebe. Why, only the other day, Mom, I says to him, feeling him out, I said, listen, Dad, what do you think of my getting married someday soon? And he says, what for? So I says, what for? And he says, just what I said, what for? So I says, well, what for does anyone get married? And he says, change the subject. And I says, gee, Dad, what's the matter with you? You got a psychosis on the subject or something? I'm 20, and you know what he says? What are you trying to do, make me a grandfather? Why, no, Dad, I says. Change the subject, he says. Change the subject. That's all he says. Change the subject. You see, Mom? So how could I tell him about me and Phoebe?
Just the same, son. You shouldn't have gone and eloped last night without first... My goodness, when he heard about it, he was furious. Lee Fountain, you come out of that room this instant. You hear?
Come on out, Dad.
Don't cry, Phoebe. He's got nothing against you.
Oh, don't just... cry, Phoebe. All right, if that's the way he wants it, we'll go live with your folks.
Wait a minute. Shh. Quiet. Here he comes. Shh. Here he is.
It's just his hand sticking out the door.
With a note in it.
He dropped it.
He's gone again.
Let's see what he wrote.
What's it say, Junior?
Says,
well?
Says, to whom it may concern, anyone trying to make a grandfather out of me will be disowned and banished from my midst.
Again, Lee Fountain failed to hold on tight. Tight, tight, for in a twinkling... There was Peter, and all was lost. For Lee was now willy-nilly a grandfather. And Lee sulked, and true to his word, boycotted little Peter and all retainers of little Peter. And Grandma Cleo coaxed and begged and wept. But Lee was adamant. And zip, the years flew by, and Peter was...
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
And zowie, Lee Fountain was an old man, and 60 was staring him in the face, and he shuddered, and he moaned.
My, 3 days ago I was 7.
And he was pale, and bent, and wore a hunted look, for he was afraid. Lee Fountain was afraid, and his heart was sick. He crept into his soul and wept. Familiar voices mocked his tears.
My soul and I.
We have a good cry.
And Lee Fountain wept and wept. And there came to him in his agony Peter, son of Junior, son of Lee, and said unto him,
Why are you crying? Are you a baby or something?
Who are you?
Peter, your grandson.
Well, how'd you get here?
I'm 7 today and you didn't come to my party, so I decided to come here. Stop crying, sir. It's silly. Be a man.
Lee gaped in astonishment, for truly Peter was a strange little lad, as strange in his way as Lee himself had been at 7.
How old did you say you were?
7. You should have kept better track.
So, you're Peter?
Naturally. You look just like the picture on our mantle, only older.
And you're 7.
I hate being so young.
You what?
It's disgusting.
Why, you, how can you say such a thing? You're lucky that you're a... Why?
It's no fun being little.
What if you were old, like me?
I'd love it. Being little is you know what?
What?
It's stupid. You know why?
Why?
Look, sir, for instance, here you are talking to a little boy. And you say to yourself, you say, he's only 7, so I guess I'll change the subject to lollipops. And did you win any marbles lately?
No, Peter, I won't change the subject.
When all the time I want to know answers like, why do you have to be little before you're big? And where do you go when you're asleep? And how does something come out of nothing? And why do things end?
And what if the answers make you sad, Peter?
That's nothing. I'd at least know, like you, and not waste time with, wash behind your ears, Peter, and eat your soup, Peter. It's good for you. And stand up and recite, Peter, and spinach. And foolishness like that. You see, sir?
And go on, Peter.
I'll bet you were young once. I'll bet you hated it, too. The way people kiss you and comb you and slap you and make you do what they want. And no one understands you. And you wish you were dead. Remember?
I remember.
I wish I could blow up and be big in a minute. When you're big, you can fly up to the sky if you want to. And no one will stop you.
No one.
And maybe say hello to God. See what I mean, sir?
Yes, I see. Yeah, I see. Peter, give me a kiss.
Of course not.
No?
Childish.
Oh, yes, so it is. A shake, then.
Shake.
Bless you, son.
Bless you, sir.
Gramp. Call me Gramp.
Sure, Gramp.
And from that time on, Lee Fountain let go and enjoyed life. And strangely enough, he grew younger every day. The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, has just presented Joseph Druskul's original whimsy, Lee Fountain Comes of Age. The special musical score was by Alexander Semler, and the workshop's director was Werner Michel. Appearing in the cast were David Anderson, Bob Dryden, Peter Griffith, Don Kiefer, Madeline Lee, Abby Lewis, Ronnie Liss, Pat Ryan, Lawson Zerbe, and the part of Lee Fountain was played by Kenny Delmar, the narrator, Ted Osborne. Next week, over most of these same CBS stations, the Columbia Workshop will offer a dramatized portion of Thomas Wolfe's great American novel, Look Homeward, Angel, as adapted for the workshop by Elizabeth Lomax and directed by Mark Sloab, with another original musical score by Alexander Semler, whose work was heard on today's workshop. Every week, the workshop selects a different kind of program
with emphasis upon the unusual and the experimental. Make a mental note to follow the Columbia Workshop from week to week. Saturday night is good listening with CBS, so stay tuned now for the famous correspondent Larry Lesser, who will come to you in just a few moments over many of these same stations. Don Baker speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not. William Billinge was born in a cornfield in Longner, England, lived a very full life, and died 112 years later in the same cornfield. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the touching story of an American patriot with a strange deathbed wish. Robert E. Craddock was a patriot to the core and proved it up to his dying day. Craddock, a Revolutionary War veteran of Warren County, Kentucky, was about to die in 1837 when he made the following preparations. He got out of his deathbed, donned his Revolutionary War uniform, asked for a piper and a drummer to march around his house playing military airs, so that the last sounds on earth Craddock would hear were his beloved regimental marches. Believe it or not.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 2. Before we raise our curtain, we'd like to take time for a small speech. It amounts to this. Thanks. Thanks very much for your many, many very wonderful letters in praise of our opening play, Long Distance. Bowing to your wishes, we promise we'll repeat it later on in this series. Tonight's play is titled Ground Floor Window. It was written by an extremely talented young author, Ernest Kinoy. With Bill Redfield starring as Danny and directed by Harry W. Duncan, here is Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 2, Ground Floor Window.
I've been sitting in this ground floor window of ours for 23 years. Yes, ever since I can remember, I've watched the girls playing potsy on the sidewalk, the boys playing stickball, dodging the cars, shooting marbles in the gutter. I'm 23 now. 23.
Hey, Sonny, come on here. Come on, Paul, will you? Come on.
It was 6 years ago that I first saw you, Ruth. You were the new upstairs tenant. There was a big yellow moving van, the furniture, your father managing everything. I remember the first words your father ever said to me. The first words your father ever said to me were...
Hey, you. You in the window. This 791.
I
said, is it 791?
No, he's asking him, mister. He's dopey.
Yeah? What do you know?
Yeah, he's a regular goof. Just sits there all the time.
I can't...
See? Like I said, he can't even talk straight. Yeah, it's 791, all right. You're moving in, huh?
Yeah. Say, the goof there, he ain't dangerous or anything, is he?
Him? Nah. He can't even get out of that chair. His ma even has to tie his shoes for him.
No kid.
Yeah.
Okay, Ruthie, this is the right place. We're home.
What's wrong with a kid in the window, Pop?
Never mind now. Go find the super and get the key to the apartment.
He looks so funny.
Go on, you heard me. Find the super.
All afternoon, I watched your father and another man carrying furniture and trunks into the house. It was dark before the truck finally pulled away. The kids on the block were shooting bottle caps under the street lamp. And the ice cream man had been around twice.
Daddy, I want ice cream. The
other kids got Danny, getting late?
Let me fix you, Pop.
Oh, no, Ma, not yet. I'll stay up a while.
You had a long day, Danny. You should rest.
Ma...
All day you sat by the window.
Let me alone, will you?
You want I should get you some ginger ale? It's cold in the ice.
I don't want nothing, Ma. Just leave me alone.
So you'll call when you want to go to bed, all right? All right, then?
Oh, yeah, Ma, all right.
Tap, Shirley behind the garden.
Hello?
Huh?
Hello? Hello? My name's Ruth. I moved in today upstairs.
I saw.
Hey, do you mind if I sit on the stoop by your window?
No.
What's your name?
Dan.
What's wrong with you? You make funny faces.
Well, I can't help it.
Why didn't you answer Papa when he asked you a question this afternoon?
I have trouble talking sometimes.
Oh. Can you walk?
No.
Were you run over?
No, I was born like this.
You ain't really dopey, are you?
No, it's just I was born with...
That lady in the blue dress, she's your mother, ain't she?
Yeah.
My mother died last year. She had double pneumonia.
Oh, that's too bad.
Hey, there's a quarter in the great...
Can a doctor do something?
For me?
Yeah.
Well, my mother took me to the clinic when I was four. They told her they couldn't do anything.
That's awful. What is it?
Well, the doctor said cerebral palsy. That means something isn't there in the part that tells the muscles what to do.
Oh.
That's what makes me make funny faces all the time.
You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
Oh, I don't mind. You won't laugh at me, though.
No, I won't laugh.
The rest of the kids on the block do, right? I'm used to it, I guess. They call me Dopey Dan.
That isn't fair. It ain't your fault, is it?
No, it isn't my fault.
Ruthie! Ruthie!
Look, Papa, I gotta go upstairs. I'll see you tomorrow, Dan.
Good night, Ruth.
Who's that you're talking to, Danny?
Girl from upstairs.
The one who moved in today?
Uh-huh.
She should shame herself for such a dirty face.
Her name is Ruth.
Such a nice neighborhood this used to be.
She looks straight at me, Ma.
So, she looked at you. You want I should put you to bed?
Oh, no. No, that's all right, Ma. I want to sit up a while longer. You go ahead. I want to think. I watched you grow up, Ruth. You washed your face now, and soon those long black braids gave way to a sort of soft tangle around your face. You went to Douglas Junior High School with the kids from the block, and after school you used to sit on the high brown stone stoop just outside my window and report on the day's activities.
The teacher don't like me, Dan. Right in front of the whole class, she said I didn't do my homework.
Well, did you?
Well, not exactly. I tried to.
You went to the movies instead. I saw you go by.
Well, Skip asked me to go. I don't see what good algebra does anyway.
Did you have a good time with Skip?
I guess so. We had a soda after. You never seen a movie, have you, Dan?
Well, Ma was going to take me once, but she couldn't get anybody to carry me.
It was a swell picture.
I'll see one someday.
Hot pepper. What are you doing I'm in school, Danny?
I don't know. Watch the street, I guess.
Don't you read?
Well, I can't turn the pages so good. I used to have a teacher come twice a week, but... not anymore.
Hey, I know what. I'll read to you Saturday afternoon. I've got to read Ivanhoe for school anyway, and I'd just as soon read it aloud.
Hey, Ruthie!
That's Skip calling you.
I'll let him come over here if he wants anything.
Hey, what you doing, Ruthie?
Just talking.
But don't be Dan.
Skip Parsons, you shut up.
Oh, that's all right.
Sure, Danny don't mind. Do you?
No.
We're old friends, ain't we?
Never mind, Skip. You shut up anyway.
All girls are crazy. Ain't they, Danny?
See?
Danny agrees with
Why
me.
Why don't you go away, Skip?
I'll go when I want to. Say, Ruthie, all the kids in school are going up the river on the day line Saturday. You're coming, ain't you?
I don't know.
Won't cost much. Look, I'll tell you what. You come with me, and I'll get your ticket.
Well, I was going to read to Danny on Saturday.
We're going to Bear Mountain. Joe Barker's father's giving her hot dogs for the whole bunch.
I don't know.
It sounds swell, Ruth.
Yeah, it's a lot better than just sitting on a stoop reading all afternoon.
I don't know yet, Skip. I'll let you know.
You went to Bear Mountain with Skip, Ruth. I wanted you to. Skip was supposed to be very funny. He had an imitation of the way I talk and how my face moves. I never saw it, but all the kids in the neighborhood laughed every time. Mm-hmm.
Saturday afternoon, I watched the little kids unscrew the top off the fire hydrant and run around under the water.
Hey, Billy, George, the top off the hydrant. Come on!
I thought of you on the boat with the wind blowing through that short tangle of hair. I think I enjoyed that trip more than you did. He came home way after 12, alone. The night was hot and the whole street seemed to be weighed down under a smothering blanket. You sat on the stoop, and even in the dark, I could tell you were crying.
I am not crying. It's just hot.
Well, I didn't mean anything, Ruth. Didn't you have a good time?
Sure.
Well, how come Skip didn't bring you home? Your father will be awful mad.
I don't care.
Well, what's the matter? You are crying, Ruth.
It's nothing, Danny.
Something happened on the trip,
didn't
it?
No, no.
It was Skip, wasn't it?
Oh, Danny.
He made fun of the way I talk.
I tried to make him stop, but he wouldn't. He only did it because they all laughed. But, Danny, it was awful.
You mustn't mind.
I hit him, Danny. I slapped Skip as hard as I could. And then I ran into the cabin.
Well, please don't.
I didn't come home with him. I couldn't stand it, Danny. I won't ever talk to Skip as long as I live.
Oh, they don't mean anything, Ruth. It's just that I'm different. Now, don't cry, Ruth. Please.
Is that you, Ruthie?
It's Papa.
He's been to Connolly's bar. I saw him go by around 10.
Ruth, answer when your father calls.
Yes, Papa. Danny, he's drunk. What'll I do?
Didn't I tell you to get home before midnight?
Papa,
Didn't I say before midnight? Didn't I?
But, Papa...
Mr. Gower.
What do you want? Well?
Ruth was here. Talking to me.
No, Dan.
Oh, she was, huh?
She was talking to me. She was back around 11.
Why, you lying, half-witted cripple?
Papa, don't you dare talk to Dan like that!
Why, you little...
Ruth!
Go on, get upstairs before I beat your head off.
Mr. Gower, you shouldn't
Listen,
do that.
Listen, you overgrown idiot. If I didn't know that your mama has to even wipe your nose for you, I'd... Stay away from Ruthie, see? I don't want her hanging around well, just stay away!
Danny. That was Gower coming home drunk again, Danny. Danny. You're crying.
No, Ma.
What's the matter? Can I do something for you? Danny, what are you crying for?
Nothing, nothing.
All right, so let me fix the pillow behind your back. It's all crooked.
Ma, stop it.
Danny.
I can't stand it any longer. Let me alone. Let me alone. Let me alone. But my mother fixed my pillow and brought me a glass of water and wiped the tears out of my eyes. I sat at the window staring out at the street. That night I dreamed I could walk. I was with you, Ruth, walking by the ocean. We were running hand in hand, sort of floating over the sand. Running. Running. And then suddenly, I fell. I couldn't get up and you looked down at me and said quietly, "Cripple." I was screaming when I woke up and my mother came running. She insisted on sitting up with me all night. I didn't dream again. After that, you didn't come every day. You had a job after school, and I'd see you go out in the morning with your books and come back late in the afternoon. You weren't really pretty, I suppose. You always looked tired, and you took a long time climbing the stoop.
Ma, cut me up and throw me down.
Hello, Danny. Isn't this a scorcher?
Oh, hello, Ruth. You tired?
Sometimes I think you're lucky, Danny. I get so worn out in the store, I fall asleep over my homework.
It gets tiring just... sitting, too, Ruth.
Gee, you know what I mean, Danny. Here, I'll straighten your pillow.
Oh, it's all right.
Let me fix your collar, Danny. It's all twisted. There.
I couldn't reach it.
I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't mean to... You know...
Oh, it's all right, Ruth. I never mind when you talk about it or anything.
You're different from the other boys I know, Danny. Not only because you're...
Crippled. It's all right.
I mean, it seems like I can always talk to you. Papa doesn't seem to understand. Honest, Danny, sometimes I think you're all there is on the whole block that's real.
I mean, I don't know.
I...
Danny, why is it you seem kind of good?
I don't know.
I mean, you seem so old.
Old?
As if you knew what was right. Oh, Dan, will you always let me talk to you?
Ruth?
I get so tired. I need you to talk to, Danny.
You sat on the stoop with your head in your hands, looking like all the sorrow in the world. And then you looked up and smiled at me, and I could see tears in your eyes. And I was glad, Ruth, glad you wanted me to listen while you poured out the troubles of your 18-year-old heart. The war was over now. There was a big welcome home streamer stretching from our house across the street to 794.
Danny, look who's back! Look who's back!
It was Skip Parson on the sidewalk at the foot of the stoop. He stood looking up at me with his feet apart, leaning on a sort of steel cane that reached up beyond his right hand and clamped his arm by the elbow.
Hi, Danny.
Hello, Skip. Swell to see you.
Come on up and sit down a while on the stoop.
Sure, I got nowhere to go.
Hello, Skip.
Hiya, Ruthie. I guess I kind of joined your club, Danny. There.
I'm sorry, Skip.
Well, I still got the leg, even if it is all scrambled up. How you been, Danny?
All the same. You look great. I mean, except for the leg.
Yeah. But the surprise is Ruthie. She wasn't pretty when I went away.
I'm not now.
Sure you are. Isn't she, Danny? You ought to know. I leave it to you.
I guess so.
Never mind. What are the ribbons for, Skip?
Oh, free beers, mostly. They're good for at least a quart at Connolly's. Didn't you notice me weaving?
That's a combat infantry badge, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you a secret. It's the only one that means anything to me. The other stuff is to sweep beautiful ladies off their feet.
Why didn't you write you were coming?
I didn't think of it. I guess I should have.
Well, you got home just in time, Skip. Ruth graduates high school tonight.
Hey, that's swell. Congratulations. But you should have told me. I'd have brought you a present or something, maybe flowers.
But Dan sent me flowers.
Why don't you go with her tonight, Skip? Mr. Gower's working. Ruth won't have anybody there.
I wasn't asked.
Don't be goofy. You need somebody in the audience to clap when they call my name.
Oh, horny-handed Parsons, they call me. How's this?
No, Sue. I gotta go get dressed now. Oh, your flowers are swell, Danny.
I'm glad.
In about an hour, Ruthie?
Maybe a little longer. I'll try to hurry.
Well, I gotta shave. See you later, Danny.
Have a good time, Skip. I saw you go off together to the graduation. It was almost dark and the street lamp went on just as you passed under it. Oh, Skip was wrong. You weren't pretty, but the light caught the white flowers in your dark hair. They danced when you tossed your head and waved to me.
That's the Gower girl going to graduation?
Yes, Ma.
Think her father would come home to go with her.
He's working.
Working, not working. A girl graduates only once. Who's that with her?
Skip Parson. He came home today.
I already heard. Shame his legs. Such a strong boy.
Oh, she looked nice, Ma.
She ought to. You made me buy expensive enough flowers. So much money for a little girl like that.
Oh, Ma.
Still, you're right. Her father wouldn't get them, and on graduation, a girl should have flowers.
They were pretty. She had them in her hair.
Lucky Skip came home, so she had someone to take her. Everybody's got his troubles, and the whole world, nothing but troubles.
Alice!
So, you want ice cream the next time the man comes around?
You came home late. I heard you both laughing quietly as you turned the corner. And when you passed under the street lamp, I saw the flowers in your hair wilted and yellowing. Skip had tucked one of them under his infantry badge, like it was a buttonhole.
Dan? Hey, Dan?
He's probably in bed.
Danny?
What do you want to wake him for?
I promised to tell him about graduation.
Oh, give him a break. Let him sleep.
But I promise.
It'll keep till morning. Danny won't mind.
Gee, I wish he could have been there.
Why, didn't I clap loud enough?
Don't be silly, Skip. It's a... Oh, Danny's been something sort of special to me.
Oh.
Skip, it isn't fair. Why should he be like that? It isn't fair.
Hey, take it easy. It's graduation night.
He said he was glad you went with me.
Sure. Danny's okay. Say, you're not in... I mean, Danny...
Oh, Skip.
Ruthie, let's walk down to the river. It's early.
I can't. Pop will be home from work soon. He'll get mad.
You got lots of time. After all, you only graduate high school once.
Well, I really promise...
If Danny was up, he'd answer.
But Papa...
Your old man doesn't come home till 3. What do you say?
All right. Oh.
What's the matter?
My flowers came loose. Here, hold my purse.
Oh, they're drooping anyway. You might as well throw them away.
No, I'll fix the pin. I want to save them. There.
We can make it to the river and back before your father comes home.
I'd heard you when you called, Ruth. I don't know why I didn't answer, but I waited up till you came back. I wanted to be sure you got home safely. I was afraid your father would come home and find you still out, too. But he didn't. It was a week later when Skip came by again. He was wearing his old suit from before the war, but his arm was still braced against that twisted steel half-crutch. He pulled himself up the high stoop.
Wow. It's quite a climb. Mind if I sit a while?
No.
Danny, you've got to help me.
Me?
I know I got a nerve. All afternoon, I sat in Conley's bar, trying to figure out how I had the right.
What's the trouble, Skip?
Well, remember when I was a kid, I used to call you Dopey Dan?
Yes, I remember.
Ruthie socked me for it once. I was imitating you on the boat coming down from Bear Mountain. She hauled off and socked me.
I knew about it.
Well, kids are like that, Danny. You know that, don't you? I didn't mean anything special. I was just, you know... There isn't an excuse, I guess.
Well, I don't mind anymore.
Look. I know it isn't anything like it. I mean, my leg and your trouble, they aren't in the same class. But this morning I saw two kids following me down the street making like my brace with a stick.
You'll get used to it.
No, that isn't what I mean. I try to figure how I come off to ask you to help. I wouldn't have had the nerve, but Ruthie told me you always were a friend.
Ruth?
Yeah. I need you, Danny. You're the only one who can help.
I...
What's the matter?
Nothing.
You see, it's her old man. He won't let her see anybody. He goes crazy every night when he's working because he can't tell where she is. She's scared of him, Danny.
Well, what do you want from me?
I gotta see her, Danny. I just gotta. She's gonna meet me over at the park. She told her father she's gonna read to you. He'll ask you, Danny. You've got to tell him she was with you.
I didn't know what to say to Skip, Ruth, so I stuttered like I always do when I get confused. Skip sat by the window and told me how pretty you were. You weren't really pretty, Ruth, even on graduation night with my flowers in your hair. I wanted to tell him there were lots of prettier girls, so many others. He could walk. He could find the others. Why did he have to come to me? Why did I have to help him? You stopped by my window before you went to meet him. You sat on the stoop the way you used to.
How do I look, Dan?
Oh, fine, Ruth. Just fine.
I'm going over to the park to meet Skip.
Yes, I know.
Oh, Danny, I love him. What's the matter, Danny?
Skip's a good guy.
He wants to get married and go to California. He knows a job out there where his leg won't matter. Only it wasn't for Papa.
Well, can't you just go anyway?
Yeah, but Skip and Papa don't like each other. Danny, why is Papa like he is? He's not really bad. He worries about me. That way, you know. And Danny, he don't need to worry. Why can't he be nice, Danny? Why can't he?
Ruth, I...
You've always been a friend, Danny. I've always been able to talk to you. Remember when I said I wanted to talk to you always?
Ruth, I can't even talk right, hardly.
Even if you couldn't walk or anything, you were my very best friend on the block. You were my best friend in the world, Danny. You could tell what I was thinking. You knew it without my saying anything. That's what I love about Skip, Danny. He's so gentle and sweet. Like you. Sometimes I think that you're the...
No, Ruth.
Danny, I'll write you off.
You're not going tonight, are you?
Tomorrow, maybe, if Skip wants.
I hope you'll be happy, Ruth.
Bend your head up, Danny. Well, your face feels hot, Danny. Are you all right? Have you fever or something?
No. No, I'm all right.
Your forehead's so hot, Danny. Tomorrow I'll say goodbye like always. Just like I was going to school or something. But you'll know, Danny, that it's...
Ruth, don't.
Goodbye, Danny.
Oh, Danny.
Who are you talking to, Danny? Somebody's bothering you, maybe. Danny, what's the matter? Why, you're crying. That's no way for a man to act.
A man? A man who can't even button his shirt or tie his shoes? What kind of a man is that?
Danny?
What kind of a man that drools and stammers when he talks like a baby?
Danny, your mom isn't dead. You're my son. I lived in the house with you for 23 years.
Oh, please, Mama.
That Skip part. He went 2 years to a war. Danny, your war went on from when you were born. I know. You're Ruth. She's going away. But you've still got to live.
Oh, Ma, for heaven's sake.
Oh, she goes away. Danny, it didn't take courage to live 23 years sitting in a window watching the world run and play games. A man. Could there be more of a man?
Mama, I love her. So now I sit by the window and watch the street. All day I watch the girls jumping rope and the boys playing stickball. You wrote me, Ruth, but I didn't answer. This is the letter I write in my head. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't put it on paper. I'm 23 years old, and I can't hold a pencil in my hand.
That was Ground Floor Window, Attraction 2, Radio City Playhouse, as written by Ernest Canoy and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Bill Redfield starred as Danny, and other members of the cast included Bernard Grant, Marilyn Erskine, Anna Karen, and Arthur Q. Bryan. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough. Next week, the Radio City Playhouse presents Of Unsound Mind, written by our director, Harry W. Junkin. It is the story of Myra, beautiful, gracious, charming, and without a soul. It is the story of Caleb, her war-wounded husband, and of Jeff, the other man in her life. We sincerely hope you'll be with us next Saturday when we bring you Of Unsound Mind by Harry W. Junkin. Attraction 3, Radio City Playhouse. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, you can do so from the website as well. We've got a new set available. For your donation of $10 or more, 12 stories written by Lucille Fletcher, who wrote Sorry Wrong Number, The Hitchhiker, and a number of weird stories. I think you'll enjoy it. Visit the website, click on the donation information button, you'll find out more about that. Thank you very much to those of you who have donated. It's how we keep going. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.